Hello, everybody, and welcome to Facebook Ads Agency Builders. We are a powerhouse community of entrepreneurs seizing the opportunity of the rapidly advancing digital marketing industry and bringing some of the best minds in the business together to have massive impact for our clients. Over the past 5 years, Tyler Narducci has been building and scaling his own digital agency, helping businesses grow and market their services and products through online advertising. Now, he's helping other startup digital agencies launch and scale rapidly to six figures with the Done For You agency program. If you are interested in taking your agency to the next level and skip all those painful mistakes most have to make by learning directly from those killing it in the digital agency space, then apply now at sobeviral.com/agency-build. That's sobeviral.com/agency-build. There will be a clickable link in the podcast show notes as well as in the About section of the Facebook group. Now, let's dive into today's episode.
What's going on, everybody? I am super excited today to have on here John Hill. John is someone that I have wanted to bring on in a conversation here in FAAB for quite some time. And there's going to be a ton of value packed into the next conversation. So super excited to have you. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself a little bit and tell everybody what you do and your experience in sales.
Awesome. Yeah. First, thanks for having me on. No pressure at all about the value. So currently I run a sales operations company. We work with small team entrepreneurs to really kind of document a sales process, match that up using technologies so that way things are a little bit easier and more repeatable. Before that, I had a website design agency with a business partner. We ran that for about 4 years. And kind of got tired of just doing websites. You know, I found out there's a really good reason why most marketers are not doing websites and they're focusing on marketing. So I learned that out kind of the hard way.
Yeah.
And parted from that, and now I'm building this business. And I've been in sales for a total of about 20 years. About 7 of it has been in B2B, and before that I was in retail. So kind of the nutshell version of me.
Yeah. And then even more exciting, you are the Done For You Agency Sales Coach. So in my Agency Accelerator program, John Hill is the sales master that you're working with. You came into the program. This guy is the guy that's going to be hooking you up with the commissionized sales team. And also, he's going to be the guy that gives you the one-on-one and group sales coaching. So you can level up your agency and close your deals, because at the end of the day, that's the linchpin to everything, right? If you can't close your deals, then you're not going to have a business. You're not going to have an agency. It's like one of the three main pillars, sales. It's so huge. And that's why I constantly talk about sales over and over and over in FAAB, because, you know, ultimately every business that's not like an e-commerce product is 100% reliant on the sales piece. If there is that element is not there, the whole thing doesn't work. So super, super important. So specifically speaking for agencies, to grow your agency, obviously you're going to want to get high ticket clients. The $300, $400, even $1,000 client per month is really not going to take you where you want to go and get you to that six figure mark and really enable you to grow as an agency. And so where we find ourselves is on these high ticket sales calls. You know, when you're using funnels and when you're using LinkedIn and cold email and whatever lead gen methods you're using, you're going to end up in a high ticket phone sales situation. And oftentimes the pressure can be on. I know when I first started taking them, my least favorite thing about my business, like the least favorite thing to do was get on that call. And even though I knew I had the solution, that was just like the thing this client needed, it was just really scary getting on the call and being like, okay, it's going to be $10,000 for the next 3 months, right? Yeah. So what do you think that is? Why do you think high ticket phone sales are just hard for a lot of people?
Well, I think it's kind of a competing range of events, right? You know, the first one is that from kids, right? If you're an American, and in most households, you're kind of taught two things that make it really, really difficult to be successful as salespeople. One, you don't talk to strangers. Two, we don't talk about money.
Yeah. Right?
So if you don't do either one of those two things, you are going to have a very hard time being successful as a salesperson. And like, I love my parents, but they don't set me up for success as a salesperson. So first, we have to get out of that comfort zone a little bit and understand that what we do provides value. And then something that you said a minute ago about the $300 and $400 a month clients are not going to serve you. The difference between, you know, a $300 a month client and a $1,500 a month client, as far as effort, shouldn't be that different. So do you want to manage hundreds of tiny clients, or do you want to manage maybe a couple of dozen larger clients, right? If the workload is more or less the same, like, make it easier on yourself, right? I mean, the reason why we get into business is that way we can have more control. You carry risk, so you get more control. So don't sell yourself short by working with small budget clients, right? Because in my experience, everyone who has a small budget, that money is incredibly valuable to them, and you're going to spend more time validating your existence than somebody who's got a larger budget.
For sure. Yeah, no, I think what I learned pretty early on was, you know, you have to first know your value, and fully understand your value before you can effectively communicate that value across in a sales call, right? If you doubt your services, like if you doubt the value that you can actually bring, then that's going to come across in your
tone.
It's going to come across in everything. If you don't fully believe in your product. So that's why it's really important to have like an amazing team or be a great marketer yourself. Like one of those two things has to be in place so that you have the confidence to freely pitch, you know, a 10K contract, right? And if you don't have that, it's gonna come across. So it's in your confidence, in not only your ability to fulfill, but in your voice, just like the actual confidence that you have in your voice. So I think knowing your value, not being afraid, like you said, to talk about money, and you know, if you fully believe and know in your heart that you're going to be able to take this client and deliver a service that's going to increase their business by 10, then you should have no problem getting on there and confidently pitching a service fee of 2. You know what I mean? Like that's just how it is. That's how it comes across. So I know that, you know, one of the things that I did when I first started off with like many agency owners is we underpriced ourselves. And you get those clients in that are low ticket and high work. And like you said, that is the worst possible situation ever. Like having the always in agency world, the lowest paying clients are going to be your highest headache without a doubt. Every single time. And so the higher paying ones, they respect your work. They know that you're the expert. They're not micromanaging. And so it's just worth your weight in gold to really get this sales piece down so that you can get those types of clients really very agency.
Going back to that idea that you provide a lot of value. My old business partner, we were talking about sales, and one day he was like, if you thought that you could cure cancer, right? If you somehow found a pill that could cure cancer, would you have any problem talking to people about it, getting them to talk about if they have cancer or have someone in their family that has cancer so that way you could potentially help?
Right. 3 minutes from the rooftop, right?
Exactly, right? And so if you are not confident enough that like what your service or your product does serves people in that same fashion, right? You have the answer to business cancer, right? Which is leads. Right, in marketing. So if you are that confident, you shouldn't be able to shut up about it. Not to the point that you're being annoying and people don't want to be around you, but that confidence comes through, right? And confidence and pacing are a couple of things that people typically overlook when they're trying to get better at sales, because you get nervous, you start talking faster.
Yeah, you start talking faster and then you don't shut up and then you're the only one talking. And then they're like so checked out and so tuned out. And you're just like, the more anxiety that you get, the more anxious you get, the more you just talk more and give them information and overload them. And you just bulldoze over your sales call. Like, and I say this from experience. I say this from someone who's 1000% done this. not just someone who's criticizing others for absolutely, for sure. And guys, I don't want to just like highlight here problems. I want to make sure that there's solutions given. So the problem with confidence, if you're just starting out, just starting an agency, and you don't have that confidence that you personally can deliver, then your answer to get that confidence is to find your team that already has delivered at this level, because then you know that you have rock stars that can manage your clients. And so you'll instantly gain that confidence to effectively communicate the value that your agency can bring, okay? So moving forward, what do you think are the biggest mistakes that business owners or agency owners, what are the biggest mistakes that are typically made on high ticket sales phone calls?
I would say the first one is not really being niched down and having like a very specific target, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to talk to the person who tries to be all things to everybody, right? So the metaphor that I always use is that I like to do martial arts, and I'm also a pretty avid bicyclist, right? So if you're a personal trainer and you call me and you're just a general personal trainer, I'm not going to take time out of my day to come talk to you, right? Or see what your program looks like. But if you call me and you tell me that you only work with like bicycling martial artists and you help them get better, now I can't wait, right? Yeah. And nothing has changed except you are specific to me now and you're more relevant as opposed to trying to catch everything in that wide net.
And respect. They respect you because you're the expert now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I know that when I go talk to this person, he understands my concerns, my pains, my problems. He's worked with other people. He's helped them do that. So if you're trying to be all things to everybody, stop. Like immediately go back to the drawing board, figure out who you kill it for.
Yeah.
And really focus on just those people, because it's not a zero-sum game. There's enough business out there for everybody. So focus on just who you kill it for and really kind of like thrive in that area. Stop stretching yourself all the way over to one side or the other, trying to close business that isn't a good fit for you, right? You're going to end up miserable with that client, avoiding them. They're going to hate you. You're going to hate them. It never goes well. So focus on who you can kill it for. Is probably the first thing that I talk to people about is there's a greatness that happens whenever you close a sale and you know that you're going to kill it for someone versus the anxiety of closing a sale and being like, how the hell am I going to fulfill?
Oh yeah. It's like, ooh, I got that sale, but oh shit, what do I do now?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right? It's never worth the effort. Right. So that's the biggest thing, is just be really confident. And that comes from not stretching yourself too far outside of who you know you can kill it for. Second one is understanding that sales has shifted. It used to be you wanted to be the first person that they talk to. And that's where pressure comes in, right? I don't want you to go talk to someone else because they might close you before I get the chance to. It's different now, right? You no longer have to be AAA marketing agency so that you show up first in the phone book, because there's so much information, right? Mm-hmm. You want people to find the best fit for them. And if that's not you, you got to be okay with that. So not being attached to a yes, but being more attached to the idea of, I want this person to have the best fit possible, because everyone hates their marketing guy whenever it goes bad.
That's so important. Like 100%. Not being attached. That was a lesson I learned the hard way as well, is not being so attached. Like, just because you have a big fish in the pipeline does not mean you have to close that big fish and you know, despite all the red flags and warning signs. Like, if it is not a good fit for your business, or if they're an asshole, like red flags, like because you, like they're an asshole with money, does not mean you need to bend out of what you would have normally done or bend out of what you're comfortable with doing to make it work for them. And in the cases that I've gone ahead and done that and like, you know, shape shifted to what they kind of need because they were a bigger fish, or, you know, made those concessions, they always turn out bad. The relationship is just not right. So yeah, that's so great. Not being so tied to the outcome and like, this has to work, this has to work, this has to work. Because when you put that type of pressure on yourself, like this has to work, this has to work, this has to work, you're setting yourself up for failure. Because if it doesn't work, like, boom, you know, you're devastated and da, 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 da. But if you're okay going into this process of this is okay if it doesn't work, then if it does work, awesome. If it doesn't, you're on to the next one, and you're able to continually roll with it. And it'll come across, like we said earlier, in your tone, right? If you're forcing this, who wants to buy from somebody who's like, come on, man, like, you should really sign right now. You should really, like, that pressure, that CD sales, like that car salesman like thing is just so, there's nothing that will turn people off faster from what I've seen.
Yeah, it's a little bit like dating, right? In high school, I was an awkward guy, right? I'm still growing into these years. So I was too available, right? And because I was too available, I was just like in the friend zone all the time. Same thing happens with salespeople, right? The thing is that prospects will try to get your knowledge for free and waste your time and not even realize that they're doing anything bad. And we can't get mad at them for wasting our time if we don't set expectations, right? Setting expectations is like the Jedi mind trick around sales. So if we set an expectation around, hey, at the end of this conversation, can we take 2 minutes and figure out if it makes sense to talk about a next step, which is typically another phone call, or if it's not a fit, would you be okay letting me know?
Yeah, and like keeping, yes, all of that. And then also keeping in control of the offer. Right? Like a lot of people come onto these sales calls and your business owners will come onto the sales calls assuming that you're dying to work with them, assuming that you are trying to sell to them. When in fact, you need to set the tone and the precedent that you're actually vetting them to work with you. Like, and that's the frame that needs to happen on here, that you're seeing if it's a good fit for the both of you. You're not actively trying to convince them to work with you. And when that message and that tone gets across that you're really, you're looking for a good partner, like a good business.
I have no idea.
Selling a product.
If you can still see me or not.
Yeah.
I have a black screen of death over here.
No, you're
on where I was seeing you a moment ago, so might be some technical difficulties.
Possibly. All right, guys, we are back. My apologies. Technology is a beautiful thing, but sometimes that shit don't work. So we're back for round two, and hopefully everything will hold solid now. But let's dive right back into it. So when we had our last technical difficulty, we were discussing some big things that you see agency owners and business owners alike do wrong in the high ticket sales process. And I think one of the major things was not knowing your value and making sure that you can effectively communicate your value. And then also just, when you have the confidence to fulfill for your clients, then you're going to be able to effectively deliver a sales call and also not be tied to the result, right? And so your calls will go smoother, you'll be able to land more clients, and the ones that you don't land aren't going to trip you up and screw your head all up, and you're going to be able to continue and keep rolling and growing your business.
Yeah, one of the things that I really liked whenever we first started talking about working together was that most agencies are great at doing other people's marketing, but they're terrible at doing their own, right? So yeah. They face the same problems that all their clients do, but they're doing it for themselves. And one of the things that I really like is like, get your marketing straight first and get your team in place, right? So that way you have leads coming in all the time. Your conversations change so significantly whenever you have a deep pipeline. Because you're no longer attached to that outcome.
Yeah. And,
you know, faking it till you make it is a great saying, but sometimes when you're in the middle of that pressure filled thing and you need this thing to close because your bills are due and everything else, that sucks. No one wants to be there.
Yeah. And like, if you don't have the team to fulfill and you sell a package, trying to scramble and find the right people to fulfill for that client in a timely fashion is insane. Like, selling something that you can't deliver on and then afterward trying to go find the right people to actually deliver on it is just, it mind boggles me that there are people out there that do it that way. I would never recommend that ever. If you want to have your A team, because of a few reasons. A, it will give you case studies that you can then use to market your agency with. B, it will give you confidence in your sales calls that you're going to be able to effectively do the actual ad work and the work that's required of your team and produce those level of results, and you'll actually get the sale because you'll have the confidence to actually get it. And it all just comes together so much better. I mean, in this game, you have to be the agency owner, right? You don't have to be the Facebook marketer, but you do have to be the agency owner, and you have to be truthful, honest, and have integrity, you know?
Yeah. Principles have to come before strategies, right? So this idea that you might run around town telling people, well, hey, if it's not a good fit, I'm going to let you know, and can you let me know, right? That's great in theory, but if you don't actually believe that, if you've never gone through a sales call and then told someone, hey, I'm not the best person to actually help you with this. I might know someone, I can make an introduction or something else, but based upon what you told me, I'm not the best person. If you never told anybody that, it's a gimmick, right? Yeah. And when you're using a gimmick as part of a sales conversation, it's gonna come off as inauthentic on some level, right? They're not gonna realize it as an outright gimmick, but part of them is thinking something's a little bit off here, right? It's right. When you need that sell and you need that, yes, that gets communicated even on a level that we're not always aware of all the time. So,
yeah. You know. And that also comes down to, you know, like you said earlier, niching your agency, right? Like if you are a agency that niched into dental and you get an automotive lead, being straight up with them that you're not the best agency, but then referring them to a partner who may give you a referral fee for the handoff, right? And so that's why having a network is also really important too, that in the dental agency program, all the agency owners, they network together. So if they niche into different places, they can then refer clients to each other and set up referral fees that way. So like there's a lot of benefits to growing your network beyond just like being able to ask a question, you know what I mean?
And once again, just setting that expectation, right? Because eventually you will get leads that are not part of your target market, right? And that's okay. But you have to have the gumption, for lack of a better word, to sit down and be like, hey, we normally work in this other industry and you're not part of that. I'm a little bit concerned that there might be some ramp up and some learning curve and everything else. How do you think we should deal with that? Do you want to work with someone who's focused on automotive only businesses? Or are you okay taking the time to kind of like learn with us as we go to get better? Because if you're in that second category, then I'm open to the conversation. Right. But if you need someone who's going to hit the ground running, you got to go work with someone who can do that for you. And I got to be honest and say, that's not me if that's not me. Right. And just like everybody else does.
And that level of integrity and honesty comes through so genuine and like helps cut across all of the BS that's out there. Right. Because there's so much BS out there and people get a lot of BS on sales calls, like, and they come into this with trying to avoid that, and they come into this with a lot of mistrust. And so that kind of leads me to my next question for you, and it's like, how do you, in a world where, in a market right now where there's so much mistrust, especially toward digital agencies, how do you as an agency owner effectively get that trust from the client or from the lead to then land your sale?
Great question. So one of the biggest things that we do is we jump to the conclusion that everyone sees value in the same things that we do, right? So
yeah.
You see this all the time on Facebook specifically. You know, someone hops in on their feed and they're looking for recommendations, and someone tags someone like, I can absolutely help you. Well, you don't really know that yet. Right? You don't know what their expectations are, how they want to work, if that lines up with how you and your team work. So why are you jumping into bed with this person who you barely even know, right? You're hopefully not doing that while you're dating, right? So sales is kind of the same thing. Let's see if there's a mutual fit here. Do you have pain that I can solve? Do you have a budget that lines up with what we need to do a good job for you? And like, are your expectations in line? What does success look like? What does it look like in a year from now whenever I come back and I want to negotiate a higher fee? Where do we need to be? So that way that is a conversation that I can come to you and feel comfortable having, because rates go up whenever we kill it for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why wouldn't it, right? If you are lead generating for someone and you're killing it, back the truck up, right? Like that's how it should be. And being that confident changes how your conversations go.
Yeah. So I want to get into a little bit of the nuts and bolts of the two call process. So in the Done For You Agency program, one of the things that we teach is a two call close, because in agency world, it's really important that that you have the time break in between meeting them the very first time and being able to diagnose their problem, right? Like you wouldn't see a doctor not say anything and have them prescribe you a medication, right? They need to hear from you. They need to diagnose your symptoms, and then they need to prescribe the medicine. And so kind of like, if you're comparing it to like a medical situation, you'd be meeting the doctor on call number one. The doctor would be going to review the x-rays in between and then coming back with the prescription on call number two and strategy, right? So how do you feel, what do you think is what needs to happen on call number one, which is like the very first touch with clients?
Yeah, call number one, there's pressure that we put on ourselves to be Johnny on the spot. I know everything. Let me show you how awesome I am in this first conversation by giving you some free consulting, right? Well, consultants charge a lot of money for good reason, right? Because the information and the knowledge that they have is valuable. Don't cheapen it. Don't cheapen yourself and your brand and the things that you do by giving it away to people for free. Because especially with the popular niches like doctors and attorneys and stuff, those guys know how valuable they are. They know that their lifetime value is really high, and that makes them a good potential target for marketing agencies. So they could be potentially working with someone. So if you show up and start spouting, let me tell you what I'm gonna do for you. We're gonna do this and this and this, and here's the strategy and everything else, and this is how awesome I am. You run the risk of them going back to the person they're working with right now and being like, oh, John just said they're gonna do it this way.
Right.
What do you think about that, right? So you're putting yourself in a position to where you don't have any leverage, which is terrible. Mm-hmm. So that first call is really just what's going on in your business. Why would you take the time to talk to a salesperson, right? Because people are scared to talk to salespeople because they don't really want to get sold, right? They mm-hmm. want to buy something they want. They don't want to get sold something that they hate, right? So that first one is really just qualifying. Why would you want to make a change? Are you willing to invest the time, money, and resources to make a change? Because
yeah.
that's what we're trying to figure out. And then once we can figure that out, then let me go talk to my team. Let's put together a strategy and talking about the concerns that you have based upon your past experiences and the things you hear from your buddies and other business owners and stuff like that. So that way, the second conversation, we can present around the concerns and pains that you have. So that way it's relevant to your situation, as opposed to the one size fits all thing that no one really wants.
How would you handle someone who is like, well, what's your pricing? And they're just like trying to bulldoze through call number one and trying to force pricing out of you when you haven't even been able to see their ad account or been able to really diagnose the situation.
You know, there's a bunch of different ways to handle that kind of thing, right? One of them is the best thing to do is not accept that pressure, right? And once again, as kids, we're taught when someone asks you a question, you answer it. Right? Like my parents used to say that to me all the time. So that tape is playing in your head all the time. So if someone asks you a hard edge question, it's super easy to just want to answer it. But the confidence comes from being like, you know, Tyler, that's a great question. This is going to be a salesy answer, and I don't mean it to be, but it's a little bit different for everybody. I'm not really sure what your needs are yet or exactly the product or services that we're going to line up for as part of our strategy.
Right. It's letting them know that you're a digital agency and every client is going to have a different strategy.
Absolutely.
You don't just have a one size fits all marketing solution. Here's your marketing package that that works for selling shoes and getting doctor leads. And like that doesn't exist. And so there's a little bit of education that needs to happen in those situations when they're just trying to force pricing out of you, and you have, it's really important to keep control of the offer, right? Like you're not there to just to get them to become your client. You're there to see if it's going to be a good fit, figure out the right strategy, and then offer extend an invitation for them to work with you. And that's the tone that should be set and the mindset that you should have going into these, not how do I get them to buy into this package? And I'm going to make sure that I say these things in this exact order and everything, because that's how you close a high ticket sale. Like, they're, don't put that much pressure on yourself. Keep it human, keep the dialogue like we're having right now, right? Like, we're two people that are talking to each other and the conversation's flowing. Like, don't talk to them like a potential sale. Talk to them like a friend, like someone who's telling you their problem, and you are trying to use the knowledge that you have, diagnose it, figure out where you can go from there. And do not talk about pricing on call number one, no matter how many times they ask you. If you drop numbers on call number one, you're gonna lose that sale. Like 99% of the time, you're gonna lose the sale if you drop numbers on that first call. You need to get into their ad account or get into or and talk with your team and actually formulate a strategy so that you have something of value to offer before you spit out that number, right? I can't tell you, like, even in like the Done For You Agency program, we have people that come on and they actually, like, some people will hop into the sales call and they don't actually fully understand what goes into each of the packages, right? And they'll bulldoze through and be like, well, how much is it? How much is it? How much is it? I'm like, do you know how much is what? Like, do you know what is in each package? So even if I did tell you a number right now, like, do you know what you're getting? Mm-hmm. And the answer is no, right? And so that happens in course sales, that happens in coaching, that happens in agency world, that happens in all types of sales calls. People just, they want to know a number, and it's like, you don't even know what you're going to get for that number. So you're not even going to effectively know the value of the number. So it's really important to maintain, you know, like, you're going to give them a special offer if it's a good fit for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that is so important. And that's mostly a mindset thing.
Sales is all mindset, right?
For sure. Right. I mean, it's mostly like mindset, and then your behaviors and your techniques come just from like practice and reps. But if you don't believe that you are a successful business owner who provides value to the people that you work with, you're never going to go talk to these people and hold them accountable to the agreements you make and move conversations forward. You're what some people call a professional visitor, right? You're just hanging out, taking up time, never moving a conversation forward, and you're allowing yourself to be in prime position to be taken advantage of, right? When we were doing websites, everyone just wanted to know how much it costs, you know, or people would call us and say, well, I'm looking for a bid.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. I would love to see your RFQ. Oh, what's an RFQ? Well, normally whenever a company is putting out, you know, they're going to go do some bids, they put out an RFQ outlining everything that they want on their website and exactly what it needs to do and their timelines and their budget and everything else. I'd love to see that.
Right. How big do you want your website? How much do you want on there? What kind of features do you want? Right. Like, there are, as a marketing services provider, like, there are so many different ways that you can deliver your service and package your service. And if you don't sit down, take a minute and strategize to put that together so that you can best serve them before you deliver the offer, then you're screwing up as the agency owner.
Yeah. And one thing that I used a lot whenever I was getting that kind of pressure, it's like, hey, before we talk about pricing, I got to go talk to my team. And what this does is this keeps me from trying to jump ahead of myself and solve your problem and potentially overpromise, which puts a lot of pressure on my team. I don't want to do that. So the purpose of this call is to kind of just figure out what your expectations are and what's going on in your world. And then in that second call, we can talk about pricing if this conversation goes well. Is that going to be okay?
Yes, that's like a super effective tool. I have to sit down and build the strategy with my team first. And they should 1000% respect that, because once you stop thinking like a freelancer, a solo freelancer, you'll start thinking like an agency owner who has a team. Once again, the agency owner is not the Facebook ads marketer or the Google ads marketer or the guy who builds the websites and does the SEO. So he or she defers that strategy and that technical skill to his team or her team. And so they respect that and they fully understand that. Like, you're not expected to be, you know, the one who crafts that on the spot and deliver it. So you have to separate your calls out and get a strategy call. And I, one piece of advice, the sooner you can get back on that next call, the better. Don't schedule it for a week later. A week later and they've thought about, so how much stuff do you think about in a week? Yeah. You'll lose that lead. Where I found a kind of a good sweet spot is maybe like 48 hours at max. Like, if you can do it the next day at the same time, even better, and tell them that you'll be getting with your team, and set a tentative time for, set the second call date on the first call. Don't defer that to email where you're gonna, okay, well, I'll follow up an email and then we'll schedule it. Don't do that. You'll be shooting yourself in the foot. Get the second call booked on your first call, and set in stone, and then hustle your ass to get that strategy and get your pricing in between the two dates that you've set, to be able to effectively do that. If someone were to ask you, is there a magic formula here to effectively delivering your pitch in call number two, what would you say?
I would say the magic formula, right? So ideally what happens is you set really good expectations at the beginning of the first call. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that first call, when you're recapping to make sure that you're not making any assumptions, because you shouldn't be making assumptions for someone else's business. And then you're setting the time for that second call, right? You hit the nail on the head. If you don't have an mutually agreed upon next step, you were wrong. Right, like that's just all there is to it. Yeah. If you have gotten this person on the phone and had a conversation with you, why would you wait to schedule the next interaction? Like, if you've done a good job, they trust you, they're emotional, and they're ready to like see what you can do for them. Like, don't get off that call and then let it live in email, because there's no accountability to email. There's no tone. All these things are super important to building trust. And these people have got to trust you if they're going to invest the kind of money that we want them to invest. Go ahead.
In call number two, though, specifically, so now you've gone back with your team and you've crafted your offer and you're hopping on call number two, and you need to deliver that offer, and you know, in your most confident voice, deliver your 10K pitch. Is there a magic formula here, or how exactly do, like, is there something that you need to do first and then second and then third, or is this again just being human and delivering and you know, reestablishing rapport with the lead and then telling them like what you found, the problem, and then the solution?
A couple of things, right? First one is just setting expectations that at the end of this call, we need to talk about if we're going to move forward or if we should close the file because it's not a good fit, right? Right? Like that's my first thing, right? So like if we're hopping onto the second call, Tyler, and you know, as we agreed, we're going to spend 45 minutes. It's you and me and someone from my team to talk about the strategies that we came up with, based upon the information we talked about last time. Before we start, at the end of this call, what typically happens is we talk about either moving forward and getting started, which looks like me sending over an invoice for the first portion of this thing, an agreement that everyone signs before they work with us, and then we kind of get started. But if it's not a good fit, because it's not always, you might see our strategy and think that it's not going to be a good fit, and that's okay. Are you going to be comfortable telling me no if we get there?
Wow.
So right there, I've laid out the rules for the game, right? Yeah. I mean, now at the end of that call, if I say, what do you think? And like, well, I need to think about it. I'm confused. We agree that we would either talk about moving forward or calling it over. I've probably done a bad job understanding something. Can you let me know what that looks like?
That was really valuable. So I hope everyone listening took that down as a note. Create your rules for the call and set your rules with the lead on the call. It's like a huge value bomb right there. In the rule for engagement sets you up for success when the call is coming to an end and you ask them for their opinion on it, right? That helps prevent the calls to going to the I'll think about it graveyard.
Yeah. The second thing is make your presentation and proposal around the things that are important to them. right? So let's say the reporting is a big deal and they've worked with a marketing agency in the past and they didn't know what they were paying for or what they were receiving and the reporting was terrible. If that's one of their major pains about, you know, something that they need to be better to work with someone, talk about that. Talk about the reporting, right? Hey, you said that you were really concerned last time because you weren't sure where your money was going. So we talked about reporting. This is what our reporting looks like. And communication is another one, right? If they're looking to talk to someone more and you've done a good job of qualifying what more looks like, talk about that. Where people go a little bit off the rails is when they start trying to present around things that have no bearing on the conversation, right? If their big three things are reporting, communication, and then results, you don't need to talk about how great your team is, right? Because yeah. That wasn't a concern for them. So why are you trying to oversell, right? You have time to educate them later. Right now, we're trying to sell them and close them. And the best way to do that is to make it relevant to where they are and their concerns.
So what I'm hearing is set the rules for engagement in the beginning and then address the pain points that you've uncovered in call number one.
Yeah.
Before you deliver your pitch, which is ultimately the solution for the pain points. And then something that I've learned in this game, and please feel free to add or second that or anything, but just shut up after you deliver the offer, right? After you have offered what you're going to offer, telling or just closing your mouth and not saying another word. It's just part of our nature to then go, and that's going to be $10,000. And then if you sign up today, then you're here. And it's just like, because you're nervous at that point, because you have that anxious anxiety and you just want to go ahead and do that. But when you say, you know, and that's going to be $10,000, the buyer then goes into consideration phase immediately. Like they're doing the numbers in their head. They're in that phase where if you overtalk that, you're going to lose them again. So when you pitch, shut up. And then even if it takes, you know, a really uncomfortable long amount of time, let them say the next thing.
Yeah. I was at a poker game once and this guy was getting super excited about this like little bitty pot that he won. And this guy looks up, older guy, and he was like, "Man, you're embarrassing yourself. Act like you've been here before." I laughed so hard because it's such a good metaphor for the sales thing. If you're asking really hard questions because you know it's important to qualify them to see if there's a mutual fit, you ask those questions and then you shut up and you wait for them to answer them. Or they'll ask for clarification, right? Pausing takes confidence. Silence takes confidence. You know, when I was younger and first kind of getting into sales and everything, I worked in call centers, right? Not as a telemarketer, but support and then try to upsell. And in call centers, silence is a negative thing, right? So you would make up these lines about, "Oh, my computer's moving a little slow," or "just bear with me for another moment," because dead silence meant that they were wondering what you were doing. And I struggled because I don't like silence normally because of that.
No one likes silence. No, it's so uncomfortable, especially as the person that's selling.
Yeah, for sure. So I've had to put in a lot of work to where I can ask hard questions. "Hey, can we talk about your budget for a minute?" "Sure." "Round numbers, what do you think your budget looks like to try to bridge the gap that we just talked about a moment ago?"
Yeah.
And just wait, right?
Yeah.
And just when you bail on the question, you're letting them off the hook.
Yeah. You're letting them not answer, right? It's just waiting for the answer. And it can be really uncomfortable, and it can actually go long lengths of time, what feel like ages, but when you deliver a pitch, it's very important to shut up. And so that's really, those are some of the main things in the second call that I've learned in this game that can really, really help people that are new to this. On that topic, to round out this conversation, what is some advice that you would give someone who is brand new at this and just starting to take sales calls for the first time?
Remember that we're pitched all the time by everybody, and don't go into that call making it about yourself, because that's what everybody else does. if you want to stand out from the crowd, you have to do things that people in the crowd are not doing. So when you show up and you're saying, hey, I just want to take a few minutes of your time and I want to learn about your business and everything else, they don't even need to be there for that conversation because it's all about you and getting your needs met. Mm-hmm. So slow down and understand, like, people are pitched all the time and they're scared to be sold things, and like, make that okay, right? So make it about them. Not, I want to learn about you, of more, I'm curious, right? I'm genuinely curious about how you run your business and why these things are important and what do you want to change? And if you have a magic wand, what does success look like a year from now, right?
Yeah, that's another, I think we kind of talked over that fast, but that's a really important thing, is figuring out what success looks like. Because if you don't know what success looks like, then how are you supposed to deliver success? How are you ever going to be successful? And that's a problem that agency owners have across the board. Like, I know agency owners that, and I have myself, lost clients that were getting incredible results simply because the client didn't fully understand the value of the results they were getting because the agency owner didn't effectively communicate that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a big difference between someone who is wanting to understand and potentially help and someone who just wants to sell, right?
Right.
So the person who just wants to sell, if you're talking to that business owner, like, I want to double my business in 12 months. Okay, awesome. Let's get started, right? The consultant who wants to understand and be of service is going to say, I'm a little bit curious. If you double your business, how does that change your business? Do you have to bring in more staff? Is that multiple locations? What does that look like? Is that a real goal for 12 months from now? Because that's not a lot of time. So
from what I've heard, that's called the keyword for that is called dreamscaping. And I find that to be really effective on call number one. Yep. When you're getting to know them and you want to find out what success looks like, dreamscape with them, help them see what that amazing thing that they want looks like. What does it feel like? What does it sound like? What exactly is it? And dig deep into that, so that when you deliver your pitch, right, when you wind up for, and then this is going to be $10,000, you read that back to them, and it's like you stack up. So before you deliver that pitch, you remind them of the problem. You then tack on the things in the audit that are additional problems that they may not have known about. Now you have the main problem, extra problems, dreamscape, where we want to be, and then solution to get there. So you finally actually bridge that gap. And that is where I've seen a really successful second call come into play, is when you restate the pain points, add additional ones that they didn't know that they had, and then remind them of their dreamscaping, remind them of the things that they want to achieve, and say it in the verbiage that they said it to you. Like, use their exact words. If they said they want to hit, you know, 30K a week in this side of the business, then you say 30K a week in that side of your business. Like, you say the exact words that they said, so that you're effectively communicating that feeling that they had on that first call when you were dreamscaping with them. And then the solution is this, and it's going to be $10,000. Shut up.
Yeah. The using their verbiage back is super important, because it's such a trust building thing. Like, we're wired to trust people who look and are like us. So if you're using the same kind of volume and cadence and tone and the same words, if they're using words like, I feel like this, then you should talk about feelings as well, because that means that you are being more relevant to them. If they say, I see it this way, oh, cool, you see it this way, right? If they're a detail person, then diving into those details with them is going to help you sell. Now, yep. If you're a detail person and they're not, you got to be okay with, like, not going into the details and understanding that you're not trying to sell to you, you're trying to sell to them.
And you can match their tone too. Yeah. And that also really helps, like, matching their tone and not being too aggressive. If I can be kind of like a loud in your face kind of person. That's why I'm a program and a coach and all that kind of stuff, is like, this is me, right? But if I talk to someone who's more steady toned, voice and they speak more like this, then I can match that so that our conversation can flow a little bit better. And I'm not like overpowering them on the phone call, right? So it's all of these little things add up to successful sales calls. And there's no, I would say that there's no exact science to this. Like we're all just humans trying to communicate. But just keeping it, be confident about your services, deliver your pitch with, like, I love the analogy before, in part one of this, which was, if you knew you could cure cancer, how would you be speaking about your cure? Right. Mm-hmm. Same thing, like having full confidence in it. And speaking to them like a person, not a lead, and be qualifying them to work with you by having respect for your agency and what you can produce and the value that you have, right? Don't be vying for them to buy into you, because then you become an option, not the solution, right? You don't want to be on the menu. You want to be like the only option you don't want to be like the solution, not an option. Yeah.
You want to be the partner, not the vendor.
Yeah, like there is no other option. Like this is how you get your dreamscaping ideas is right here with us, and this is the product. So I think this was.
Can I move in real quick?
Yeah.
For two things, really. So the first one is that people buy for their own reasons, right? So a long time ago, I'm old compared to Tyler and most people that are coming through the program, right? So a long time ago, 2010, I was selling investments, and I was 30, I looked 22. It's very hard sell because of the market and everything else. But I would get mad at these people who didn't want to buy the protected investment that was giving a higher return than what the savings account was. I'm like, you're earning 0.5% on the savings account, and I can earn you 4%. And mentally, I would be like, you are dumb for not investing in this, right?
It made sense to you.
What's that?
Because it made sense to you.
Absolutely, right? Like, hey, any ROI, like I'll spend 95 cents to make a buck if there's enough like volume behind it, right? Not everyone has got that same thing. So I was not doing a good job of understanding what they saw value in. So I was making it about me and my wants and my needs and not really taking the time to understand what's important to you. Right? What kind of return would you be looking for if you were going to do something other than a savings account? Had I known all this then, I would have been more successful, but like you learn as you go. But doing the same thing when you're talking to these people, don't make it about what you see value in. Take the time to understand what they see value in, you know, in dreamscaping, what does success look like, and what are you hoping is going to happen, right? That's just going to up your conversations, and you're going to earn a lot more trust. And with trust comes being able to sell at a premium and being able to like not have to compete against, you know, 5 other companies in a bid type situation.
Yeah. I think this has been a really, really valuable conversation. I could talk about it for several more hours. I think there's so many nuances and so many like different things that you could talk about for call number one and call number two. But I think we did get a lot of really, really important nuggets across in this call, and I think a lot of people are going to have a lot of little epiphanies and little things that they can change about their own sales process that will positively affect their agency. If you would like to work directly with me and John, there's going to be a link below, both in the group and in the podcast, for the Done For Your Agency program, fill out the application, and you'll hop onto a call to speak with us about it. Basically, John will work directly with you on your sales calls for 6 weeks. You can review your calls. You can basically review the objections that you're getting from your leads and really hone that down so that you can sell for yourself, which is so important when you're starting an agency. Having the skill to sell is more powerful than having any other skill out there. If you can sell, if I could have one skill in the world, it would be sales, period. Hands down, no question. That's what I would want. It would be sales. Like everything else is basically secondary because you can find, you know, the right team for that. Now,
so, hold on real quick. I gotta say something, because you have this skill, right? You have practiced it and earned it and honed it and made it better. Sales is not a fixed trait. No one comes out of the womb saying things like, hey, does this sound fair? Or all things being equal, what do you think we should do now? No one says that. You learn that, right? So you can improve. Don't start selling yourself short thinking that you can't do this. Everybody brings their own bullshit to the table when they're selling, right? It might be that
why we have sales coaching with John to make you better at sales, because everyone can get better at sales. And you know what? When you get that skill, you'll be able to further your agency and tap into a sales team of people that do this for a living, which is even better to continue growing your agency. So knowing how to do it yourself and tapping into the experts who can do it for you to level up your agency, all at the Done For You Agency program. So John, thank you so much for coming on here. I think this conversation has been super valuable, like I said before, and I hope to have you on here again.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you having me on.
Awesome. All right. Have a good one.
All right. Cheers.